biodiversity and anthropology and the human story, the natural story, the whole story of the planet Earth. And I was here at Denver for 22 years, had a great time here, and then the Smithsonian came knocking in 2012, and I've been there for 3 years now.
It sounds like one of those dream jobs, for real.
When I tell people about it, they gasp. They're like, oh, my Smithsonian, this is a huge job. And thousands of people work in this museum, 7 million visitors a year, which is remarkable. And a collection of over 128 million objects.
And as with most museums, you can't even show everything. You've got stuff down in the basement that no one has ever seen.
We've got basements on basements on basements. We've got huge collections behind the scenes.
Are you actually working in the warehouse where the lost Ark is from Indiana Jones?
It looks just like that, but our warehouse is full of all sorts of other things besides lost Arks.
Okay, not the lost Ark.
Not yet.
Looking at the clips of Making North America, I'm taken back to college geology and the story of the Rockies. Massive tectonic uplift, if I have my phrase correct.
You do indeed. And the thing about it is that geology is everywhere. Most people don't just notice it. But in Colorado, you've got rocks in front of your face a lot of the time. The mountains are just out the window. You drive past these great outcrops. So in Colorado, there's a sense of, geology is part of our world. But it's part of your world if you're in Florida or Virginia or Texas or California or Washington or Idaho or Iowa as well. So this is a story about all of North America.
A human being on Earth.
I sort of see that that part of Africa that sort of fits into the Caribbean, and it sort of breaks away and creates North and South America. Does it work like that?
Yeah, you think of continents like basically inflatable pads floating on a swimming pool. They kind of float around. Continents float. They're actually buoyant, and they float on the surface of the Earth, and they kind of float and move around slowly, a few inches a year, but we've got millions and millions of years to work with. So they kind of drift around and bang into each other, pull apart, and North America is one of these things, and it came together. I mean, the earliest time you could really call it North America was about 1.8 billion years ago. And it's been being sculpted and modified ever since.
You found fossils of not that it was your discovery, but you display and talk about these fish in Kansas.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, people fish in Kansas.
No, the fossil fish from Kansas are remarkable. They're in the chalk beds of western Kansas, and they're up to 15 or 16 feet long. They're huge fossil fish, and they were animals that lived in a sea that covered Kansas and split North America down the middle from north to south into two North Americas. There was a Western North America and an Eastern North America and a big sea in between them. The sea was about 1,000 miles wide and about 600 feet deep. So a place like Kansas would have been under 600 feet of seawater. And the kind of fossils you find there are the kind of things that live in 600 feet of seawater. Sitting here in Denver looking up at the Rockies, what most people don't realize is that you're missing 10,000 feet off the top of the Rockies. I mean, the Rocky Mountains were pushed up, and as they were pushed up, stuff was graded away. So there's whole worlds that were scraped off the top of the Rockies and carried down the Platte and into the Mississippi system and are buried underneath New Orleans right now. So you live in a world that looks static to you, but in fact is just always churning away.
Kirk Johnson, formerly of Denver, now with the Smithsonian Institution's Natural Museum of Natural History.
The planet has a very interesting history with lots of extremes. And if you have the entire archive of the planet to look back, you can see all sorts of huge things like major eruptions or continents moving slowly through time. But as you point out, there are things like the flooding in the Carolinas right now, which are geologic events. And we're watching it happen, like the landslide that happened in Washington a couple of years ago, or earthquakes in California, or when Mount St. Helens blew up. You start adding up all these things, like, wow, this place actually does do some pretty surprising things. And, the planet's about halfway through its normal planetary life cycle, because the sun's going to blow out in about 5 billion years. So we're about halfway through the natural process of the Earth's history. But what happens on the planet, I think, right now is partially controlled by what we do. We're burning fossil fuels. We're changing the atmosphere. We're changing the oceans. We are actually, as humans, a geologic force. But it's pretty clear that nature bats last. I mean, we have things like the Yellowstone supervolcano, which might blow up. Or if you live in Seattle, the Cascadia Fault might slip and give you a 9.0 earthquake in Seattle. So there are events that are driven by humans. There are events that are driven by natural processes. And it's this giant world we live on where lots of cool things are happening.